another thing that the type of person who wants to do the evil speaking and gossip is arrogance. If I can tell you something you don't know, then I'm important. I knew that, and you didn't. I used to have a friend who... I still keep a calendar on the refrigerator, but this was before all the electronic stuff, and I really depended on that calendar. And I'm visual. I like to put little stickers on it and pictures and things. Well, I had a friend who had a house cleaning business, and she cleaned my house some. But we were very close friends. Well, she would read my calendar. Now, it's right there in public. I didn't care if anybody looked at it, but she would read my calendar. And she'd say, "Why'd you have lunch with Susan? I wasn't invited." Or, "I didn't know there was going to be a wedding shower first. I didn't know they were engaged." And I'm going, you know, it's public information because it's out there. But she felt less important because she didn't know some of these things. And my goal is to, on happy news, I never share other people's happy news unless they've told me I can, because it's their happy news. You know, if somebody's going to have a baby and they've told me, but they've said we're not ready to announce it yet, I'm not going to tell anybody. It's their news. Well, she'd get really mad at me when she found out these things, because knowing made her feel more important. Hypocrisy. "All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt." So people who, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and we went to the same high school, graduated the same year. She was pretty much a loner. And she has a lot of bitter feelings toward a group of girls at the time who she feels like pretended to be her friend but really were backbiting and didn't care about her. Now, I knew all these same people, and a few of them I would probably say, you know, that may have been what happened. A couple of them I was actually friends with, but I told her, I said, you know, maybe they talked about me when I wasn't around, but I didn't much care. It didn't matter to me what they might be saying, because the couple who were really my friends really were my friends, and the others didn't impact my life. And I think it's sad that 45, 44 or something years later, she can still feel very bitter about what those girls did to her. And probably they actually did. I mean, I know them. Mother?
But that's probably not hurting the girls at all.
Not a bit.
But it's eating her up.
Right. So. And like I said, I don't even know how much of it was really that, or that she just felt insecure and felt some of it. But you're right, it hurts her all these years later. But I know these women, and I assure you they are not thinking about what happened then. So hypocrisy is a huge, huge problem, and I think one we have to be very cautious about, because I think we can be hypocritical without even... I think we can slide into it. You're with a group, and somebody says, "Well, did you see what Gene was wearing?" I can't even believe. Oh, I know. It's just, and that little bit of, that's not bad stuff. Who cares? But the attitude of kind of ganging up on somebody that the next time you see them, "Oh, it's so good to see you, and I've missed you." And I think we have to be very careful about this one. Does anybody else see that? Is that just me? I think it's easy to slide into.
I just hope that at some point we grow out of some of those things, and that's what is disappointing so many times.
Yes, yes.
Because sometimes we still pretend we're in high school.
Sadly. Mm-hmm. And evil speaking causes us to move away from God. They didn't retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do all those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers and backbiters, haters of God. Now, that's a pretty big list. Murderers, sexual immorality, backbiters. I think we forget the seriousness of evil speaking, which is why I wanted to do this lesson. So, that's what y'all talked about. So what are the consequences in our daily lives when we allow this type of behavior to take over? Well, poverty. We make ourselves miserable. That's exactly right. But in all labor, there's profit. But idle chatter only leads to poverty. Why is that? Why does that make sense? Idle chatter leads to poverty.
Well, if you're busy with the other things, you don't have that in your life. That's why that other is profitable.
Yeah.
You're morally bankrupt.
Morally bankrupt. What about just physically? You're going to lose your job. If you're spending your time gossiping, backbiting people. I've spent a lot of my career in teaching, and I am sad to say that a teacher's lounge is probably a place where no one should go.
We talked about that last
time. It's not a happy place. And if you're in a corporation and somebody finds out that you're talking bad about your boss, you could easily lose your job. Facebook, these kids are starting to learn by losing interviews and losing jobs that when you get on there and slam your boss reads Facebook. He knows what's going on. And the idea of spending your time in idle chat instead of labor, which is what this is talking about. Well, if you don't work, you're not going to eat. So you're transfusing your life with idle chatter as opposed to profitable labor. Ooh, an angry countenance. Have you ever seen people that just look mad all the time? No matter what they do, they just look mad. I just learned something about myself. I was watching TV, and I realized that whatever mood that person was in, I was reflecting it. If they were angry, I found that I was doing this. If they were laughing, my face had a smile. I thought, now that's pretty bad that you can be manipulated that way from a box on the wall. But a backbiting tongue means that you're given to that. That's who you are. And you're not going to be a happy person. If you're spending your life trying to figure out how you can make others look worse, then you're not going to be happy within you. So evil speaking has an effect on our physical well-being. Ruined.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. It absolutely is a choice.
We're supposed to be uplifters.
That's right. To all. To all. A perverse man sows strife. Those are the people that just... Have you ever known anybody that just liked to stir the pot? Even if it didn't benefit them in any way. I used to work with a lady like that. And things would be calm and peaceful and she just couldn't stand it. So she'd start nudging and poking. And pretty soon there was some uproar going on. So a perverse... And it is a perverse behavior. It is not normal, happy, well-adjusted behavior. And a whisperer separates the best of friends. Somebody goes to Debbie and tells her something that I said, she says. She maintains that I said about Debbie. And Debbie's thinking, well, why would you say that about me? But it's upset her, and maybe she didn't want to come talk to me right then because she's upset. And I'm going, what happened? If I knew what happened, maybe I could fix it. But this other person is baiting people. And again, I don't really understand that. But they like the power, I think, of intruding on other people's friendships. Or if they don't feel like they have friends, maybe I can stop you from having friends, you know, instead of trying to work on themselves. Okay, in a minute, I'm going to have to close that door so Sting can't come in. I'm going to take this overshirt off and be in a tank top. In just about a minute, that's what's going to happen. And nobody wants to see that. That's not good. Stan, edit that, please.
No.
Consequences for our souls. Backbiting has a consequence, not just on our physical life, but on our souls. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Thank you, Tracy. Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who works uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend. I think that's pretty clear. If we're not abiding in these good works, we won't abide in the holy hill that God has for us. So I keep coming back to the same thing over and over, that it's not a minor thing, and I think we overlook it, and we don't teach about it, we don't talk about it, we don't teach our children, Laura.
was going to say, I remember Velma saying years ago when she first became a Christian. Well, she wasn't even a Christian yet, but she went to,
Hardin Simmons.
But when she was saying, she would swear word or something, they said, you know, stop it. She said, well, what am I supposed to say? And they said, well, don't say anything. And we have so much power if you stop a rumor.
Oh, yes.
There's so much power to it. You can change a whole direction. There is a great power. There is. There's a lot of wisdom in it. But, I mean, if you just stop something, if you seize it right there, it can stop a whole
thing. It can.
And lies are, that just infests.
And I think we should stop it because silence is, I mean, it's like a lie, not telling the whole truth. By being quiet, you know, it's, you know, still a lie. So not stopping something like that when you could.
Sitting silently is not the same thing.
Right.
When you hear someone say something that shouldn't be said, just not responding, you said, well, I'm not taking part in it. Well, you are. Mm-hmm. You are, because you haven't stopped the flow of that bad information. And it really stops people in their tracks if you say, I'm not going to listen to gossip, and call it that. Oh, well, I wasn't gossiping. And the one I hate the most, well, it's not gossip, it's the truth. That is not a corollary. Just because it's true does not mean it can be gossip. Can't be gossip. Truth sometimes needs to just be kept quiet. Tracy?
I was with my person the other day.
With your person? Okay.
It was a cousin. I haven't seen it in a long time. And so we were talking about family things. And we had to stop and talk to each other and say, are we gossiping, even though this is about things about people who aren't even alive anymore? You know, and so we had a little conversation. Well, what would that gossip do? Well, it's going to malign someone's reputation, mm-hmm. that even though they're dead, you know, doesn't really...
They have family members that will feel that.
Said, well, you knowing what I'm about to tell you benefit you in any way. And so we had a conversation and decided, yes,
and I think it's easy to slip into it, uh-huh. unknowingly.
Family.
And if right, and you already knew that Uncle Abe did so and so, so how can it be gossip?
Right.
Well, it's gossip because you're churning that water again. Right. Mother, did you have something to say? So I agree. I think it's very easy to fall into, and I think if we don't pay attention, it's human nature. Well, right. Most of us will go there if we don't think about it. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if no other slide in this whole thing means anything to you, when we speak evil, we grieve the Holy Spirit. I mean, that makes my knees shake when I read it. Because we've been given so much, like Laura was talking about, and in such a... If we were planning to murder somebody, we would know that was big and evil and wrong. People choose to do it, but you can't convince me that 99% of them don't know that it's big and evil and wrong. They should do it anyway. But so many times the evil speaking is so easy that we don't even think about it. We just let it flow out of our mouths. And I know we've talked about communication and the tongue and all that, but I think this is a more focused topic on this particular form of evil speaking, of backbiting and gossip. Even the small things that we consider small things. Let's say you're in high school or junior high, where kids are so evil to one another, but they're also so insecure, and it's such a hard time of life. And one kid says to another kid, her nose is big. Well, the next thing you know, that poor kid has a nickname, something about their nose. And the first kid who said it probably didn't really mean to devastate somebody else. But if you're 14, that can just put a whole different look on life, on how you feel about things. So I think we need to start talking early with our children about how we don't say evil things about people, and we don't even say unkind things about people. Because if it's unkind, we should just keep it to ourselves. Or, if they are doing something wrong, we need to talk to them, not to somebody else. You know, I can't believe the way Judy talked about so-and-so the other day. And I've heard kids do this, and I'm going, wait a minute. wait a minute, what are we doing right here? We're talking about Judy, and Judy was talking about so-and-so. So I think as parents, we have a, and grandparents, we have a big responsibility to help our children see that speaking unkindly about someone is very rarely helpful.
We did a student survey at the school to decide what some of the things that the kids wanted to learn about or wanted to focus on for the year. And bullying is number one still.
Yeah.
So even though we have bully programs, we still want to learn more of that. And it's not just kids, it's adult bullying and as well as student bullying.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute because it's such a hot topic right now. And I'm just asking because I'm interested in knowing your opinion. Do you think bullying is worse than it used to be?
There's just so many different ways to bully now.
Yeah, with the internet.
Yeah, there's so many different ways you can attack someone. There were bullies when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Mother, were there bullies when you were growing up?
I'm sure.
It's because that's a human attribute, sadly. But I do think there are more avenues. They are open to children at an earlier age. When they haven't learned any temperance on their part. And I think fewer parents are talking to their children about being kind. Kindness is so underrated in our society. And it's such a huge, huge thing. And it would take care of about 99% of these if we were just being kind to people.
You know, you're speaking of my generation. If you think back when I was a child, the population of the United States was what?
I don't know, but smaller than it is now.
Much, much smaller. Appreciated people more than people appreciated other people. I don't think that to be true.
Well, and you were, for the most part in this nation, you were more isolated from other people, and therefore being with other people had a different connotation than it does now. You know, it was more something you looked forward to rather than most of us now going, I need to get away from the people.
Right.
Mary?
Also back then, we were too busy. We didn't have time to...
Idle. I don't know idleness. You've got to earn a living.
Yes.
Tracy?
That's what I was going to say. Less idleness.
Yeah.
And because of the... You had to work so much for things, you depended on your neighbor more when you needed something,
right.
You know.
Right.
And so you appreciated it.
So is there any reason why... And I say kids because every generation thinks kids are less... industrious than they were. But is there any reason why, given all the modern technologies and everything we have to help us, that kids should not work as hard as they used to?
They should work hard.
They should work hard. We have to be more inventive, I think. Because when Mother was growing up, you had to go hoe the garden so you're going to have the food. And it's pretty easy for her mother to say, get there and hoe that garden because we have to eat. Well, if my kids didn't do something, it probably was not as deadly to our family. Therefore, as a parent, it's easier to let it go because you're not depending on... I'm not depending on whether or not they hoe that little garden I have out in the back for us to actually have food. And I think that's a misguided approach to parenting. I think we have to come up with things for them to be industrious. And they need to be, just from my child development background, they need to be things that are worthwhile and valuable, not just busy work. But there are plenty of those things still.
And two, we have to realize that they're learning. They're not going to do it as good as us. So we can't just give in
right.
to, I don't have time for this.
Right.
You know, just I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
Or, like I said, to... They're not going to do it the way you would or maybe to your
right.
expectations because they're learning. But really you've got to still let them do it.
They'll do it right.
They will eventually do it right.
And I think we still aren't educating what is bullying. And there, I mean, there's that other, that flip coin where people are taking that and using
yes.
it for their benefit. And so it's a lot of education that needs to still be done.
Yeah.
And too bad people aren't taking their children to Bible classes.
Right, absolutely right. So many of our problems will be solved if we turn, as a nation, turn back to God. And I find myself thinking that'll never happen. It'll never happen. But you look at the Bible, it did happen.
I think people are searching, and we just think that they're not, but I think that they're out, that they really are.
Surely there are. Our world is too awful to not be searching. Yeah. If any among you thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, this one's religion is useless. You know of anybody like that? Not here. Not in our group. But anyone who, you know, they think they've got it all handled, and yet they're the ones out talking bad about other people or stirring the pot. Or
I think too, sometimes I've seen it as we get older. It's not to get comfortable. I've heard older Christians sometimes say, "Well, you know, I don't have to do that anymore," and that's a very scary thought. And if by them saying that, they're teaching me. Mm-hmm. You're never too old.
And you don't get to retire.
And So, but that is a good. I often say in the young class, I always say, what happened to the king? They get too big for their britches. And
that's
God
right.
quickly puts them in their places.
That's right.
And it's very easy for us to do to get comfortable. I mean, everybody in here is a mature Christian.
Yeah.
But it's very easy to get, say, comfortable. But you do. You get to a
point. I've been there, done that. You know? And you start feeling smug, I think is the word that we need to look for. I knew a man one time, quite an elderly man, way in his late 90s. He may have even been 100 by then. And his contention was that you could eventually reach the point where you did not sin because you had learned and grown from your experience and you did not sin. And my attitude kind of felt like, but that's fairly arrogant, and I know arrogance is a sin, so I'm not sure you can get there that way. But if we don't watch how we talk, our religion is useless. Have you ever heard people say, well, I'm so-and-so now, and I can say what I want to say? I've earned the right to say what I want to say. No, you haven't. Just because you got old doesn't mean you can be hateful or unkind or any of those things.
I'm sure when you say yes.
Nope. Sorry, Tip. Nope.
Okay.
And your religion's not just useless to you, but it becomes useless as your life
right.
is dim.
Right.
And especially these days, once again, with the goofy internet, which the internet's not goofy, it's people, but
right.
you claim, you know, you've got to be careful what you like or dislike at
there. Oh, yeah, you do.
And then, you know, even regular people who think they're religious, they'll spew some bad words and then put this religious quote, which,
yep.
you know, everybody thinks, I guess, if you can...
Yeah.
Paste a religious quote, you're religious.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mother.
Sometimes if you don't like a person very well, get to know them better.
That can help.
Abraham Lincoln, I said, look, I think Luther said, a man walked by. I have to get to know him better. I don't like him better.
Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Thank goodness for forgiveness on this one.
Debbie, would you pick up and just run through these for a minute? I have to hit the restroom. I take some medicine that doesn't always agree with my stomach.
No, excuse me. I'll be back.
I wasn't here last week. Okay. Lack of growth. Did y'all talk about this last week? Or are we on? Okay, thank you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So, if we're not growing, we are going backwards.
And you can't lay aside all malice. You can't do that once, and you're through with it.
Right.
It's a constant thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's not all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking. It's a continuous thing you do. It's not, today I'm going to lay that aside and I'm through with it.
It's like weeding a garden. You don't pull the weeds once and you're done. Got to keep on, keeping on. Really. Is that the 1 Peter quote? Is that from 1 Peter, I guess?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so we still need to be studying and looking and reading and growing. Well, how did she do this? I'm not computer savvy. I have the sheet.
Okay, on page 4. She's in the second one. I'm not sure the first one, on the second book right here.
Okay, lack of love?
Yes, that's where we are now.
Okay, but I don't know how to do it up here.
I didn't use this last week because I didn't want to.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, that's fine.
You went backwards.
Oh, look at you. You're so smart. I'm growing.
It hits me very suddenly. Wait, I took my lesson. Did you do the whole slide?
I'm kidding.
Sorry.
Completely off guard.
Well, couldn't help it.
That's okay.
If you bite and devour one another, oh my goodness, have you ever seen, and we're talking about women in this class, have you ever seen women do that?
No.
Just literally chew somebody up and spit them out. Sometimes behind their back, other times right to their face. And I like to think as we get older, we do less of that. But I've sure seen some bad ones, and I don't think there's a more descriptive way to say it. If you bite and devour one another, beware, you'll be consumed. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's a basic tenet of the gospel. God is love. And if we're not loving, we are not Christians. You see, I have this big thing. You can call yourself a Christian, you can pretend to be a Christian, but there's a big difference in actually being one.
Sometimes when you need love the most, it's when you're the least lovable.
Yep, that's true.
And that, if I'm being a rascal, you still got love.
Do I really?
Okay.
That doesn't apply to
teenagers.
Teenagers.
When they're least lovable, that's when they need you the most.
Yep. And they can be very unlovable. They can be very ungrateful and just not very nice people. I've decided that 19-year-olds are my least favorite people because they're just old enough to think they're really, really grown. So.
But they're really, really insecure.
They're really, really insecure, and I like them a whole lot better just a little bit later. Just got to hold on just a little bit. No, Abby's about 19, isn't she? Yeah. I like Abby, but I don't spend much time with her. It's a sin which requires repentance.
Hallelujah.
You can't have it. Hallelujah that it's available to us. But you can't just say, well, that wasn't very nice. So I guess I shouldn't do that anymore.
I'll ask for forgiveness.
You know, repentance means you quit. You don't do it anymore. And if you've fallen into that habit, it's a really hard habit to break. You'll find if you're trying to overcome it that you have that you spend a lot more time silent than you used to. Because I know that when I have these kinds of issues, what I have to do is just be quiet, because I'm not very good at rechanneling right then. I just have to be quiet. But it's a sin. And it's in there with all these other parts of evil speaking, but even, and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they practice. It keeps showing up in what we consider the bad sins, when we know full well that sin is sin, and there are not levels and degrees of sin. So if you're in the situation, before you speak a question, you should say to yourself, is it true? Okay. Is it helpful? If I say this about someone, is it helpful in this situation? And even then, if it were to be helpful, is it necessary? Maybe the help is being obtained from other areas. Maybe it's not ours to help right then. And most of all, are you acting in a Christ-like manner? Is this how Christ would approach this situation? And if all of those are yes, then it probably is something you can say. But then, what if you're just being asked to listen? Why should I hear this story? Even if all those other things are yes, it's true, it could be helpful to the person involved over there, why do I need to hear this story? How will my knowing help the person involved? And has that person given you permission to tell me? Let's say you're involved. Somebody has a problem. They've come to you for guidance. and you've talked about it. You haven't quite resolved the issue. You're both working on it. So now you come over and you're going to tell Mary Jane about the situation. Why? Is it because Mary Jane might really have an answer, might really be helpful? And even so, does this person want you to tell Mary Jane? Have you specifically said, you know, Mary Jane's really good in these kinds of situations. Do you mind if I speak with her about this? And if not, what do you need to be saying here? Bring her with you. If she wants to come, we'll all talk. But I'm not going to become involved in someone else's business who hasn't asked me to be involved and where I don't really think I have anything to offer. So we have an obligation on this end, not to just sit there and listen and go, well, you know, I wish she hadn't told me that. Stop the bleeding. Stop the hemorrhaging right then.
Jean, when we have parents, I had a parent come to me the other day complaining about something at school. Can I come to me at the school? Well, that's so easy to fall into that, but that would just create chaos. So you have to say, well, have you talked to this person?
Right.
Then you need to go to the next step and not engage in that.
Yeah, very difficult to do because a lot of times we do have good ideas that could be helpful. But if we're jumping outside that process, you're going to create more storm than if you didn't.
And sometimes it's irrevocable.
Oh, often. Those words fly out and they're just out there. And now somebody's going to go home and paste it on Facebook, and then it really is out there forever and ever.
People lose their jobs or their standing.
Yeah. It's like water, easy to pour, but you can't get it back.
That's exactly right. So finally, oops, wait, no. Come back.
I got one more. See, that would have been my whole screen for the whole life. I would have never got
it. So what if someone is doing it to you? They're backbiting, they're saying hateful things, they're whispering about you. Well, be kind. Remember that Moses even asked God to heal Miriam when she and Aaron lambasted Moses, and then she got leprosy. And, you know, Moses could have said, you got what's coming to you, as a brother. Might have said that. But he asked God to heal Miriam, even though she had done wrong to him. And she was suffering the consequence, rightfully so, of her evil. But he said, please heal her. Laura?
I was going to say, I found that example very interesting because, especially in today's society, she was still punished.
She was.
But she was forgiven.
Yes.
But that's a lot of people go and just let it go. And there are consequences.
There are consequences.
There's a cause and effect or whatever. But
and some we can't control. You know, there are just consequences to our behaviors.
I'm glad we don't have punishments like that, though, today.
Me too.
And that's a growth process also.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Some people it comes natural to others like myself. That's something that you have to grow into.
Yeah.
I have to grow.
And we have to forgive. And I get a little annoyed with the people that say, well, I can forgive, but I won't forget. Well, I think actually most of us don't forget. But what they're talking about is they're going to hold on to it and look at it every day and polish it. And, you know, I'll never forget that. Well, I always say that I've been blessed with a bad memory because I kind of forget when people have hurt my feelings and I see them later and I don't remember all that. And I can read the same book four times and be surprised with the outcome. So, you know, forgiveness, again, is a choice.
She's a slow learner.
There's that. forgiveness is a choice. And just because you forgive doesn't mean it goes out of your mind and you never remember it again. But it does mean you don't hold on to it and make it your best friend ever.
And that's not going to happen accidentally. Sometimes you have to work at it.
You do. You do.
We all have bad days. I know I do. And sometimes depending on my mood, if I feel bad, if I'm just stressed, come out that you don't intend. So when that happens, when someone does that to me, I try to say they're having a bad day.
Or if we're having a bad day, we hear it wrong.
Exactly.
Somebody says something to us and they didn't mean any offense. Mm-hmm. But our mood is such that I can't believe she said that to me. But you're right. We have to allow people to be people and move forward. And then the very last thing, though, maybe it's time to speak to your sister about what evil speaking is. Maybe it's a time to teach a lesson. You have to be pretty brave. But We have to use what times we have to teach and educate.
It is an ugly sin, though.
Oh, it is.
It really hurts.
With really bad consequences.
It hurts people.
And because we don't see people bleeding, we forget.
That verse, grieving the Holy Spirit, if I didn't learn anything today.
Yeah, that one scares me.
Yes. Okay, is there anything else we need to talk about? Like, who's going to do our introduction next week?
I'll do it.
Debbie will do it. Okay. Any questions or comments about this? We're going to do the lesson on joy next week. And I have some of those sitting here, so if you run into anybody that needs one, they're here. All right. Thank you, ladies. See you next week.